All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is January 15, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Monday, Martin Luther King holiday. Hope everyone has a day off and enjoying some time alone or with your family or whatever it is one might do on a day off. Maybe you had a 3-day weekend vacation out somewhere doing something cool, awesome. I personally did not. I sat around yesterday and watched some football. I did. I'm sorry. I apologize to the Cowboys. I said in the podcast, "Go Cowboys!" And I think I might have screwed them up because they did not play well. And that's the end of the Cowboys for 2023-24 season. It's all right. A big 49ers fan. They were always going to have to go through the 49ers, and that was going to always be a problem. Congratulations to the Green Bay Packers. Fun story, you know, fun story. See those guys. I'm a big football fan. I don't know if the people that listen to this podcast are. I find it very entertaining and enjoy the storylines of a lot of these teams. And, you know, that was a good one. As much as I hated to see the Cowboys lose, they lost. And if it was going to be any team, it might as well be Green Bay. They're, you know, coming through some challenges with the change of the guard at the quarterback, and so fun to see them win. I couldn't watch the game. Sorry, that's the bad part about you know, for me at least, having a favorite team like that is that, man, when it's time for them to play, I just can't stand it. Right. Luckily, I have a couple backup teams. The second game was fantastic too. The Rams and the Detroit Lions. Congratulations to the brand new Detroit Lions winning that game. What a great game that was! Exciting. That was the game I was hoping that the Cowboys Packers game would be, but it did not turn out to be that way. But good night of football. Had a nice evening. Grateful to be not drinking, right, and using drugs. We got to watch football and then sort of hang out. But you know, that time of year. It is Martin Luther King holiday. I hope everyone's going to have a great 3-day weekend. And, yeah. But, you know, I thought I'd just get on the podcast, jump on here real quick and just sort of wrap up the continuous drama between my father and I. And, you know, I shared a lot yesterday. And I just thought I would come up here and say, you know, after I did the podcast yesterday, I went over to my dad's house and we cleaned it all up.
Out the front door like a ghost into a fog where no one notices the contrast of white on white. And in between the moon and you, angels get a better view of the crumbling difference between wrong and right. Well, I walk in the air between the rain, through myself and back again, where I don't know. Maria says she's dying. Through the door I hear her crying. Why? I don't know. Round here, we always stand up straight. Round here, something radiates. Came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand. She says she'd like to meet a boy who looks like Elvis. And she walks along the edge of where the ocean meets the land, just like she's walking on a wire in a circus. She parks her car outside of my house and takes her clothes off. Says she's close to understanding Jesus. She knows she's more than just a little misunderstood. She has trouble acting normal when she's nervous around here.
Good song, Counting Crows, Round Here. Yeah, just thought I would sort of try to wrap this all up. So ended up going over to my dad's, pulled up in his drive. I called him. He did answer. And I was like, hey, you want to go out to breakfast? And he's like, not really. I was like, oh, boy, here we go. And he goes, where are you? And I go, I'm in your driveway. And he's like, oh, come in. Bring in the ladder. I need to help. I need help changing a light bulb. Went in. Actually, we had a great conversation. I did not go over there to get back into it, but we did end up having more conversation and sort of cleaned it all up. And that's it, right? We cleaned it up. The solution is a solution, and whatever works for him, whatever makes him happy is fine by me, but we were able to have a conversation. One of the things that, you know, that's nice is sometimes it's nice to take a pause, right? It's nice to take a second. When he told me what he told me yesterday or the night before and hung up on me, absolutely could have called him right back and just kept getting into it, right? Listen here, right? No, we're going to work this out. Didn't need to happen, right? Sometimes, for at least for us, it's easier to just let things kind of settle down, right? And then take another attempt at it the next day when cooler heads prevail. And that's sort of what we did. And we had a great conversation. And, you know, I think it is, I know like in my, when things are going, as I shared, you know, the challenges I'm having with my own child, anytime that it's, when I know that I'm not doing the right thing, when I know I'm close, right? When I'm just not quite there, right? It bugs me, right? And then to have it pointed out bugs me even more. So I have to put my feet in my dad's shoes so that when I take a look at this, I can try to look at it from both sides. And when I do that, I realize it's tough either way, right? It's tough either way. So, you know, but we were able to talk. We ended up going to breakfast and, you know, we had a great conversation. The one thing I notice about my father and even me sometimes is, and one of the great things that I've always loved about recovery and when I came into a program was just this message about, you know, to try to stay into the day, right? When I talked to my dad, and I don't know if this is just because he's 87. I don't know if this is because he's sort of coming to the end, right? And I, you know, I don't feel like he's at his end, but it's definitely, right? At 87, you're in the last part. You have to be, right? Unless we've raised the age limit, but I don't know if he just does a lot of reflecting. He, you know, I shared that I was adopted. When one of the things that my dad, when my mom and dad were young, is they took a lot of movies, right? They had the, I don't know if it was 8mm, whatever the movie style of the late 60s was, but they did a lot of movies. And, you know, my dad was in Vietnam and he was, you know, he was flying, and my mom was sort of on her own living in Oklahoma. That's where I was born, and taking care of me with my Aunt Connie. And, but it was just such a different time back then, right? And so, you know, my dad, when I ended up calling my dad the other night, he had been editing these movies, right, of when my mom and him, when I was adopted, which was an interesting time and an interesting process, right? You know, they actually allowed my parents to pick the color, right, and the blonde hair. They wanted, my mom was more of a blonde with blue eyes, and my dad had brown hair and brown eyes. My parents adopted a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy, that was me, and they adopted a brown-haired, brown-eyed boy, which was my brother. So that, you know, back then they wanted the kids to look like they fit in, and that would always be something that would be my mom and I's little secret, because for some reason my mom and I looked a lot alike. We both had blue eyes. We had a bunch of pictures, like when she would come into the salon and get her hair done, we'd always do little pictures together, and she would hold signs, you know, my hair's not perfect, but my life's not perfect, but my hair, you know, fun little things like that. And people would always say, oh, you guys, oh, I can tell whose son you are, or whose mother you are, or whose son you, right? And my mom and I would always look at each other and smile and be like, yeah, you got that right. But inside, always knowing that I was adopted and that she wasn't actually my birth mother. But, you know, it was an interesting time to adopt kids. And right, and so I remember when, I think my parents had gone through the process of applying for adoption. And then my dad had been shipped off to Vietnam, right? My dad was in Vietnam. And he got the call saying that he was a proud new parent of a baby boy. And I remember my dad, he always had the joke, right? My wife wasn't even pregnant when I left, right? Always funny. But the point was, is that it was different, right? And they had to come home from Vietnam and help. My mom didn't even have an apartment, right? When they were young. Cause my dad was in pilot training. My dad was in, you know, boot camp, whatever he was in, you know, preparing for Vietnam and his military start. You know, they weren't together. And so my mom didn't have much. My mom was living with my Aunt Connie. And when they notified her that you have been chosen, right? I chose, everybody was chosen, right? And so when the process started, my mom and Aunt Connie had to go get an apartment and some furniture, and because my dad wasn't there. My dad was in Vietnam, and he got to come home. But during this whole time, they're taking a lot of movies, right? And so my dad was at home. My dad's, you know, the end of his life, his real project is he wants to get all of his movies together, right? And they're all on reels. They're all on, you know, real movie, you know, whatever they're called. It's the reels of film, right? And but he wants to convert them, and he's been converting. My dad's been working on these movies for 20 years, right? This has been his lifelong project. And he just happened to be watching this video of me. And it's funny because I've seen some of these movies, and like it's me as like a 2 years old sliding down a 12-foot giant stainless steel slide in the middle of the desert, you know, and my mom, you know, is filming. You can see the cigarette smoke wafting in front of the lens. Oh, good job, Tommy. You know, didn't fucking care if I was going to fall off, right? You know, just up there. And I'm sure as I slid down that slide, a puff of smoke was behind me from my skin burning off on the slide. Just different times back then. But he was going down memory lane, right? And then for me to have that conversation, it just wasn't the right time, right? And so, but, you know, one of the things, and I sort of shared how my dad gets aggravated by this AA bullshit, right? This whatever we want to call it, this humble lifestyle. You know, the other thing that he hates is when I tell him, you know, we need to stay in the day, because he wants to remember the past. And the past is what is the reason for where we're at today, right? And he just was such, you know, in our past, we played such a bigger role, right? And we were so important. And today, you know, he's retired and doesn't do much. And he just wants to always talk about the past and when we were kids. And I'm like, that doesn't matter today, Dad. You know, what's important is today. And that's all I can worry about. That's bullshit, you know, and he doesn't like that. And so I guess the whole point is, and I sort of started into it yesterday, it's like not everybody's into this AA bullshit, right? This AA lifestyle. And I know that when I started getting better and I started to accept that kind of stuff, stay in the moment, one day at a time, you know, all these little sayings and stuff, I found it comforting. I found it because I didn't find that I really had any sort of direction before, right? I just woke up and went out and did my day, right? I didn't think about any of that stuff. And so when I came into this program and that was the message, stay in the day, you know, that's what we can handle one day at a time, you know, all these simplifying of a complicated lifestyle that were suggestions, I thought it was great. But it was important for me because I was trying to stay sober, right? Or I was trying to please people. I'm sure there was a little bit of both, right? Early recovery, I just wanted to please my sponsor, sort of, right? Still sick with that self-centered shit. And, but yeah, you know, so it's tough, right? I have to sort of, because he thinks that anything that has to do with humility and anything like that is a bullshit. And I said, this is just life. You know, one of the challenges my dad seems to feel is the maturity of certain people. He's not mature enough, right? Excuse me. And I was like, Dad, you know, maturity, it's not ripening. It's not like you just evolve, right? You know, you're not an avocado, right? You just don't ripen. you know, maturity is, you know, because when one of the things my dad likes to do is he wants to help before they hurt, right? He wants to help out before the pain starts, right? And I'm like, that's where the maturity starts, right? You know, and I'm no doctor, but just in my life, right? My evolution through maturity is what I learned is that, you know, it's those hard times, right? You know, we hit a situation, maybe we come into a situation a bit immature, right? But it's tough, we face it, we work through it, we deal with the consequences, whether they're good or the repercussions, good or bad, right? And we get through it and we take a little bit from every situation and we evolve, we mature. But if you are so helpful, right? You're so full of love, right? You're just such a great father or mother or whatever it is we are. And we don't want to see our children or anybody around us suffer at all. We prevent that. You know, we prevent the hard times. We prevent those moments where we push through and we start to mature. And it's hard for a parent. It's hard for a dad. It's hard for me. You know, I have always said we're building character, not characters. Right? Character, not characters. And to build character, you push through the hard times. And I've always believed that. But I've also been the guy that has not allowed my kids to push through hard times. My middle son, you know, I don't want my poor boy to suffer at all. Right. And that's not doing him any favors. And he's not maturing, or he wasn't. Right. We were stuck. I shared enough about that, but we were in the mud, and the Jeep pulled us out. My wife got us out of the mud, and now we start to see him maturing a little bit, right? He's starting to go along because you get in these tough situations, right? And so, you know, as a parent, you don't want to see your kid suffer, but at the same time, you don't want to see him stay in this immature place. And so it's tough, and so that was a conversation, but anytime that sort of conversation comes up, that's AA bullshit. And I go, no, Dad, this is just life, right? This is just living. This has nothing to do with AA. Yeah. I guess the whole point is just because I got sober and I found this new way of life doesn't mean everybody's on board with it. And the only reason I'm on board with it is because I was so fucked up, right? It was desperate. I'm desperate to save my life, and I'm willing to try anything. It just happens to be that the things that I'm trying and I'm willing to do are really helpful, right? They bring me a lot of joy and peace and gratitude, and I'm grateful that I don't have to live in the past, right? I have not shut the door on it, right? And I try to explain that. Dad, we can look at the past, but we don't have to shut the door on it, right? We know it's still there, but we don't have to live there. We don't have to, every topic of conversation doesn't have to go back 40 years, right? And that was the other thing, you know, I was telling my dad, listen, we're 55 years old, 54. Doesn't matter. You're still my kids. You're still the babies. And I go, nah, we're not. But that's his thing, right? But it doesn't matter because we buried the hatchet. We had a great breakfast, went downtown, and he didn't come to dinner. My dad's also, the other thing about my dad is that he's just getting older, and it's, you know, my mom passed, right? And so he's sort of dealing with that, even though it's been a few years now. They were together a long time, right? That was his person, right? That was his gal. That was his dog, right? They talked, and my mom and him loved to talk, right? Politics and all this stuff, and that was just a sort of sounding board. They sort of bounced things off of each other. And my parents always got along. Never a big issue as far as, never a divorce, right? And my dad said, you don't get divorced. We didn't have that option. You know, when we would get in a fight, we couldn't run back home, right? We were stuck with each other and we had to work it out. And they always did. And I always admired that about my parents, but they were together a long time. And so, you know, that's always been the thing that I've tried to do is keep my dad talking, right? Keep him chatting, have conversations with him, debrief, get all that stuff that he collects through the day out of his head, right? Or at least discuss it out loud. And, You know, so it's just a different time. And but luckily, we got that all worked out. And yeah, we're good. We had a good breakfast. And my brother's great. You know, I talk about my brother. These are, you know, I hope these are just things that we all go through, right? My dad, I don't want to. One of the, you know, as a recovering alcoholic drug addict, right? I loved avoiding doing the shit when I was active in my addiction, I did everything I could to avoid working, right? As a teenager, you know, as an early adult, you know, I mean, I didn't want to get a job, right? I mean, I wanted a job, but I also had like long hair. It was really challenging back then, and I didn't want to cut my hair, right? I wanted to have that lifestyle, but at the same time, I couldn't get a job, and it was a constant pressure from my parents. You need to get a job. Me, I don't really want to get a job. Partially I do, but I just can't because of my hair. It was always something, but it was a big deal, right? And so, as a person today, and I see how important it is that we work, or at least I work, I do think it's important. You know, I say that to my dad. You know, we need to suffer. You know, we need a good day suffering, and that way at the end of the day, we can sit down, put our feet up, and relax and say, hey, I put a good day's work in, and now I can chill, you know? And he's like, I don't understand. Why would you have to suffer? I'm like, I don't mean suffer. I mean, you're just inconvenienced, right? We can't have a day doing everything that we want. Because that's just, it's just a sick day. It's consumed by self. There's no humility. Everything is an inconvenience. Everything's a bother. Everything's a problem. Blah, blah. You just become dry, right? We need a good day's work, right? We need to get up before we'd like to do something that we just ain't sure we'd want to. And then at the end of the day, be grateful that we were able to do it, right? That's life, right? We have to get some dirt on our hands. And that was why, you know, that was the thing with my brother. And so I don't understand. That's not how I think. I don't think we have to suffer. I've never suffered. And I go, yeah, I guess you haven't. He has suffered, right? Because my dad has always been a worker. He was in the military, right? Was he digging ditches? No, he was not. He was a military. He was colonel, right? So. But he still had to go to work, right? He still had to be there. But I guess it's just sort of a state of mind, right? I guess maybe he has never suffered. But he's also not an alcoholic, right? He's also not like me, right? He's not a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, even though he is not a religious person, right? He is just him, and he's doing just fine. I can't compare my fucked up self to my dad, right? So, I don't know. I guess the point was, I just wanted to say, you know, we got it worked out. We got it worked out. And love my dad. Let me see. I'll read a daily reflections, and then I'm actually working today. How come, Tom? Why? Because you got COVID, and now you got to do this. All right. I get to work today. Excuse me. Daily reflections. An unsuspected inner resource. Okay, January 15th. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 567, 568. From my first days in AA, as I struggled for sobriety, I found hope in these words from our founders. I often pondered the phrase, they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource. How, I asked myself, can I find the power within myself? Since I am so powerless in time, as the founders promised, it came to me, I have always had the choice between goodness and evil, between unselfishness and selfishness, between serenity and fear. That power greater than myself is an original gift that I did not recognize until I achieved daily sobriety through the living AA's 12 steps. Yep. That's right. I did not realize that. I came into this program because I got caught too much. And over the years and years and years of working a program in and out with sponsors, doing this and that, That's what I've realized, right? Between unselfishness and selfishness, between serenity and fear, because that's it. That is, well, I'm not going to officially say that. I'm not a spokesman, but what I found is that that's it. That's what I want. There is more to sobriety, and it is serenity. And when you have a life of serenity, you hopefully have a life of no fear, right? You remove the fear. That is the goal. Or I think we don't realize that's a goal, but in the end, we look back and we say, damn it, that was the goal all the time. I need to live a life free of fear. And working these steps leads us to the Serenity Island, right? And when you're on Serenity Island, you have no fear. I didn't wake up today with any fear. I have no fear. Even yesterday, even the shit I was going through with my father, I was not afraid because I know. Because what would I be afraid of? That we can't fix it? We can't work it out? My relationship with my dad is over. He's going to die alone. I mean, that's all self-centered drama that we can create to make us have fear. But the reality is that there was nothing that my dad and I said, even for myself to go fuck off. No, go fuck yourself. Was even not that bad because I know he didn't mean it. And I know that we can, cooler heads can prevail and we can work through it just like we did. I have no fear today. I'm not afraid of getting drunk. I'm not afraid. excuse me. I'm not afraid of getting high. I'm not afraid of getting fired. I'm not afraid of losing my family. I'm not afraid of saying something today that I will regret. I have no fear. I have serenity today, right? Now, I'm not perfect, and it comes and goes, but that is, to me, the goal because I have worked these steps. And if you're trying to get sober, you're working these steps or working the steps, work them, right? Maybe what you think you're in here for might change, right? When you start to, one day free of drinking and all the fear that comes with the day of drinking isn't there, feels really good, right? It feels really good. And that's sort of what that's saying right there, that, you know, between unselfishness, humility, and selfishness, which would be self, right? Between serenity and fear, the power greater than myself is an original gift that did not recognize until I achieved daily sobriety through living these 12 steps. Mm. All right, well, listen, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me share. Might give it a few days. We'll see. I don't know. Later. Song.